Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. And when I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
And I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
And today, we're like in the middle of all the holiday crazy, you know?
I know, we really are.
Everyone's like either feeling behind about shopping or feeling like they don't know what to do for gifts or...
Or they're feeling single.
Or they're feeling super single.
Like those and are all single, the DMs I'm getting.
Super single, super broke.
Super sad, question mark? I don't know. I've been getting so many DMs of like, I'm single over the holidays. What do I do?
No, it's really hard. I saw this TikTok the other day that I had me rolling.
Oh my gosh, tell me.
It was like, listen, ladies, here's a public service announcement. Here's why he's not messaging you right now. It's not something something spring. She called it something spring, but like she basically played on the fact that like guys only text you in the spring, and it is so real. Like,
wait,
guys,
I thought they wanted to be
they do
snuggle in the winter.
Yeah, it was just really funny, but for some reason like people get wiped up in the spring.
True,
it does happen in this season as well, but like actually, I don't, you know what, thinking back, maybe I don't agree with her. I just thought it was really funny because actually I feel like a lot of people break up in the spring.
Yeah.
Because they want to be single for summer.
Or around Thanksgiving, because I've heard it's called the turkey drop.
The turkey drop?
Yeah, I've heard that before too.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny and sad.
So hopefully none of you were broken up with when we just celebrated Thanksgiving last week.
You're getting triggered right now.
Yeah, you're like, that was me.
Yeah,
I was
dropped.
Yeah,
you're right. You know what? Now that I think about it, I don't necessarily agree with her, but it was really funny.
See, it's funny. So normally in my life, like the holidays is actually when I'm always like randomly getting asked out on dates. So we've got a few weeks left in the holiday season. So Lord,
give us the scoop. Who is it right now?
Right now, I'm just dating Jesus. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, bomb.
AKA no one. But it's okay. I know we've talked about this. But I just feel so much peace where the Lord has me. And like, I don't know. I can understand how girls can be struggling in this holiday season, not having one, but I just want to remind y'all, like, the Lord isn't surprised about where you're at. He's not worried. He's not sitting here going, oh my gosh, she's single over Christmas. He's like, no, I'm sovereign.
I would say don't grasp right now, because you're probably going to be tempted to, because we all want that, you know, connection. We all want to feel like there's at least potential.
Totally.
I remember being home for the holidays and like hoping that he would text and then feeling so excited when he did, you know,
totally.
Random guys that I had crushes on, because they're thinking about it too. But
for sure,
like, spare yourself the emotional damage. If this guy's leading you on, like, just don't, you know.
Come
what
on.
I mean?
I love that.
Go be with your family.
Yeah. Go celebrate.
Go share the gospel.
Which, speaking of.
No, I understand. I was there and I felt all the feels, so I can't, you know. I would say do share the gospel, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about sharing the gospel with non-believing family. We get asked that a lot. And also just sharing the gospel in general, because I think it can feel like this, you either don't do it or you are standing on the corner of a street with a sign that says everyone's going to hell. Like, and yeah. and that's just not evangelism. Like, that's yeah. just not one that's not helpful. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And two, there's this other popular thinking that says, you've probably heard the quote, share the gospel with your life, or share the gospel, and when you have to, use words. No.
Yeah.
You have to use words, like, period. End of story. Like, you're not sharing the gospel if you're not using words.
Totally.
It's not helpful to just do good things without saying you're doing them in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
There are a lot of quote unquote good people out there, which, don't come at me. The scriptures say none of us are actually good. It's Romans 3:23. And the scriptures also say that our good deeds are filthy rags, but there are a lot of people who do a lot of good. And if they're not doing it in the name of Jesus, it's still good. It's still awesome, like, way to go. But don't mistake that you're kind of missing the whole point of doing good.
Yeah.
Like, when Jesus healed blind people, he wasn't just like, I'm just healing you, like, giving you sight for no reason, like, just to do good because I feel better about myself and I care about you. He's like, now go and don't sin anymore.
Yeah.
It's this sign of believe that I am the one. Like, that was him validating his ministry. Like, I am God.
Yeah.
I am the promised Messiah that you've all heard about. It's me. Let me show you by healing your diseases.
Mm.
And it was all about faith in Jesus. And so, anyways.
I love that. Okay, tell me this though. I even think the word gospel can yeah, be a yeah. little like, what does that even mean? How yeah. would you describe that?
The gospel is Jesus's life, his death, and his resurrection, and his return, honestly. The gospel is basically the entire message of the Bible and what it's about and how you can be saved. So, one, Jesus is fully God and fully man. He came to earth, born of a Virgin Mary, and was completely sinless for his entire life. He did not sin, but he was tempted in every single way as we were tempted. And sin deserves death. Like, the punishment for sin is death. Jesus said, I love them too much. I don't want them to pay that punishment. I'm going to pay it for them. So the reason he died on the cross is because somebody had to pay the punishment. God is too yeah. just and too loving to just be like, oh, it's fine. Do whatever you want. He's like, no, somebody's going to pay the price for that. But I care too much about you and I want Jesus to pay it for you. So Jesus died on the cross, taking every ounce of punishment for every sin, and was raised to life again, so that anyone who believes in him can have the resurrection, the freedom from sin, and can be in relationship with a perfect God. Simply said, God is perfect. We're not. A sinful person can't be in relationship with a sinless God. We need somebody to pay for the sin. It was Jesus. Jesus died. He was raised to life again. And everyone who believes in him, your sin is removed.
That's so good.
So that is the gospel, and there are so many different ways you can share that, like, so many different, that's the main message, is Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was raised to life again, and he's coming back. Everyone who believes in him has eternal life, and everyone who doesn't has eternal life in hell.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's why we, in other terms, can call it the good news, is that I think a lot of times we think that just being good is enough, when in reality that isn't. And so a lot of times we'll hear like, oh man, okay, tell me what you believe in, or why do you think you're going to heaven? Well, I do good things. But in reality, none of us are good.
Yeah.
How many times have we tried to get our life together?
Yeah.
How many times have you tried to stop sinning? Or yeah. I know for me, like, stop gossiping, or stop, I know for some of us are addicts, like, stop drinking, stop returning to your ex-boyfriend. It's like, there's this part of us that can we all agree that we're broken?
Yeah.
Can we
yeah.
all agree that there's something in us and we are constantly doing what we don't want to do? It yeah. talks about it in Romans. It goes, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And the answer is sin.
Yeah.
Therefore, if God is perfect, he can't be around anything that is not perfect. Therefore, what are we? We are imperfect. We can't get it together. And so it's called the good news because what was once dead, us, is now made alive in Jesus. Where one, we used to live in guilt and shame over the past. Now, if we believe in Jesus, we are set free. Where in the past, maybe, I know my story is chasing the boys, chasing the booze, chasing the drugs, chasing this body. By choosing Jesus, I have been set free from those addictions. It doesn't mean that I'm a perfect person, but it means it's called sanctification. It means that by believing in Jesus, by believing the good news, is that he paid the price that I was supposed to live. Now I get to live free, and he is making me look more like Jesus, aka he is setting me free from the things that I've always struggled with. And I think that it's so easy in life that we think a different body, a new relationship status, making more money might bring happiness, but it never changes you.
Yeah, that's really good. So you're touching on two things, just to like clarify this and make it really simple for people.
Yeah.
To, like what you just shared were benefits of salvation.
Yes.
You just shared, and the list goes on and on and on. There are benefits of salvation. When you walk with Jesus, things are going to be like changed in your life
yes.
today. And you're going to have all these benefits. That Psalm 103 says, forget not all his benefits.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that you just touched on is what is actually salvation? And so I think a lot of times we think that works are going to save us.
Yeah.
I'll hear people share their testimony, which is the story of God's grace and redemption in your life, and say, I've had an eating disorder, and then I become free from that eating disorder. They'll hinge their story around becoming free from that eating disorder.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, and Jesus is on the side. And that's not the story.
Yeah.
Like the story is you were a mess. Jesus saved you and he helped you also break free from an eating disorder.
Yeah.
Even if you broke free before you really knew Jesus, Jesus is the one who gave you the power to sustain that.
Yeah.
It was his common grace, which is a whole nother episode, whole nother theme, allowing you as a non-believer to find freedom from that. And so,
yeah.
Like your salvation hinges on Jesus dying and being raised to life again.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to say on that is that we live in a society where a lot of people think they're Christian because they went to church. They grew up going to church. And I'm here to ruin that for you because it's not true. It's not biblical. And you cannot get anywhere if you think that that is true. Like, let me say it this way. The only way to have a relationship with God is to trust in Jesus for salvation. Period. End of story. If you haven't made a personal decision to trust in Jesus, you do not have salvation. And if you know that, now you can. So it's not enough to say my family went to church or we're Christian, like our family is Christian. Has each individual person in your family made a decision? Because this is not a family thing. This is an individual thing, if that makes sense. And
totally.
We live in a culture also where we think good works will get us to heaven. We really do. And there's Catholicism. Again, another episode, we can get into that. Not every Catholic believes that good works are required for salvation, but largely the teaching in the Catholic Church and in a lot of Christian churches and just in our belief system, because it's every other religion, is that you have to be good to get to heaven.
Yeah.
Catholicism, it says, again, traditional Catholicism says salvation is Jesus plus good works. Here's where that breaks down. It breaks down because if you have to be good to get into heaven and you believe in Jesus, you're saying Jesus' death was not enough. Like, oh, there are some gaps that Jesus didn't fill, so now I have to fill it with my good works.
Yeah.
Wow. You are both denying the power of the cross and the reason Jesus died. Like, why did he have to die if you could be good, you know?
That's so good.
The other thing is that every single other religion, this is why Christianity came and turned the world on its head. Every single other religion preaches good works.
Mm.
Every single other religion has uncertainty. You might get to heaven if
yeah.
you're good enough. Like some religions teach that you might have your own planet one day. If you're good enough, if you follow all these rules, if you follow all these laws, and you might have all these wives and have this reward in heaven if you follow the laws that the Quran says. Like every single religion preaches doing this set of rules, and Jesus comes and flips that on his head and says, hey, you can't follow all my laws. You want to get into heaven? Yeah, follow everything the Bible says. You can't. Exactly. That's why you need me. It is impossible. I am the perfect sacrifice to pay
yeah.
for the bad that you're doing and to compensate for the good you can't do. So Christianity turned the world on its head a long time ago, and it still is. But we in the church need to be rock solid on one, it's by grace alone.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:8-9. It is by grace alone that I am saved and not by works so that no one can boast.
Yeah.
So I think it starts with an understanding, like sharing the gospel starts with an understanding of it ourselves.
And what even is it?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, okay, so let's talk to the girl that maybe is going home for the holidays.
Okay.
And let's say that she is the only believer in her family.
Yeah.
How does she even start that conversation off going into a place where no one, maybe you're a new believer, maybe this is something that isn't important to your family. What would you say to her?
Yeah, here's the first thing that I would say. I would say pray up beforehand.
Yeah.
Pray for specific people. Two, I would say listen and ask questions. You do not need to go in with the sword saying everything everyone is doing is wrong. Chances are, if they know that you love Jesus, it can have this effect on people of like they feel worse about themselves. Just know that. Just be aware of that and be cognizant. So I would say listen, ask questions, and wait for the right opportunity. You don't have to go home. I mean, if you want to, you can be like, I found Jesus and everyone needs to know.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be awesome. But wait for an opportunity. And here's something just conversationally, whether this is with a family member, whether this is with somebody you just met, three things you can do practically to share the gospel. And this is straight from my book, 12. Connect. One, you can find a way to connect. You have something in common with every single person. I don't care if you have never talked to your dad about something significant. You have a way to connect. Ask him questions.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you were in the military? Tell me about that. What was your actual job? You probably know that he was in the military, but like, tell me about your actual job. I've never really asked you. Wait, you did that in high school? You know, whatever that is, connect with them. You can find something to find common ground on. The second thing is this, as you're conversing and you're asking questions and you're being genuinely interested in the other person, identify a need. The more you talk to people, they're going to share with you some sort of need that they have.
Something that's hard, something that's hurtful or trigger, whatever it is.
Exactly. Or something that's like they've put their identity in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Or they want something out of life that is not coming true. Identify a need, and then third step is tell them how Jesus meets it.
Mm.
And the best way that I've found to do that is to start with personal stories.
Yeah.
So your story might not largely be an eating disorder or chasing money or chasing fame or whatever it is, but there are probably parts of your story that can relate to that. There are parts of your story, you may not have gone through a divorce like that person has, and they have emotional needs that are going unmet, but you may have gone through a breakup. And you don't minimize their pain and their suffering, but you can relate to that in some ways. And you can share like, hey, I don't pretend to know what you're going through, but I know that I have put Band-Aids on so many different things in my own life. And it has led to destruction. It has led to heartache. And it never actually solves the problem that we are all longing for Jesus. Have you ever thought about eternity? And I know that seems weird that I'm asking you that when you're, you know, telling me about this, but there's a reason. Have you ever thought about eternity? Have you ever thought that there is a God who actually really loves you and that this huge problem is going to feel small one day because he says he wants to take away your pain. He wants to take away your sorrow, and he can and he will one day for those who believe in him. Have you ever thought about that? Because it changed everything for me.
Gosh, I love that so much. And I think that's so relatable because I think what we're coming down to is one, like I said earlier, it's the good news, but it offers hope. It offers freedom.
Yes.
From anxiety, from heartbreak, from sadness, from longing. And I think that is where, at least for me in my own life, is especially kind of going through Noble, kind of getting to talk to a lot of girls that are chasing after boys, chasing after booze, chasing after a body, or even girls that are going through heartbreak. They're like, what is going to heal this? Why do I keep longing for something that I get the thing that I'm longing for and it's not working? And that is the solution to that. Is the gospel.
Yeah.
Because you literally get to say, can I offer you something that won't fail you?
Yeah.
Can I offer you something that gives eternal hope? Can Good. I offer you something that is going to take away your anxiety? Like, it doesn't mean that life isn't going to be up and to the right and perfect. It doesn't mean that once you accept Jesus, you're going to find your perfect husband and have three perfect kids with a white picket fence. But it does mean that if God is for you, who can be against you?
That's so good.
And it provides hope to this broken world. And so I think I love how you related it to your story, because that's how I've seen a lot of power is people, hopefully, maybe not, will ask you like, why are you not going to come out and drink with us?
Yeah.
Why are you not cussing anymore? Why won't you blank, blank, blank? That is an easy way to start talking about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not, don't do it in a condemning way. Don't do it in a way of like, well, man, yeah, when I used to do what you are doing. But it's like, hey, I'm going to be fully honest. Like, I used to love that stuff. But for some reason, I'd wake up every Sunday morning, every Saturday morning and go, why isn't this working? Why do I feel lifeless? Why do I feel joyless? Why do I still not feel satisfied? And I found something that does. And so reality is, I love what you said, find the need, because you have the solution to the need. It's Jesus.
Exactly.
And you know it. Like, you know that if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you have felt peace for the first time. I'm literally walking alongside someone right now who's going through the biggest heartbreak of her entire life. And she goes, I have sought peace in everything the world has to offer. And at 29, I have finally said, Jesus, and he has come. He has given me peace in the midst of the darkest days of my life that I can't even explain. Like, why wouldn't you tell your family members about that?
Exactly. What's so crazy is that we get terrified at the thought of sharing the gospel.
Terrified.
Because we fear rejection. We don't want to be weird. We don't know how to do it, or whatever the reason is. Or we want that person's approval. We don't want to ruffle the feathers. We just want to let things go as they are. I had a friend come to Jesus in her 20s, like upper 20s. And afterwards, she looked around at the people in her life who knew Jesus and said, why didn't you guys tell me? Shame on you. Because now I have this abundant life that you were holding out. And I think we forget that the gospel actually is good news. Like you were saying, Nicoletta, we forget that, no, we actually have the answer. There are all these needs. People are hurting. Turn on the news. Oh my gosh, you know? And look around. Like, you walk into a Chick-fil-A and every single person there has a story. It's wild. Every single person at the mall, like, they have a story. They're going through things. They have needs. You have the answer.
Yeah.
It's like you have the golden ticket and you have the opportunity to share it with every single person that you come in contact with. You have the opportunity to share it with your family. So like, you need to realize this is actually really good news. I have what they need. I have what they're actually longing for. They think that they want money. They want security. They want a relationship. Sure, you might want those things, but I have what truly satisfies. Ecclesiastes 3 says that God has put eternity in the hearts of men so that they'll seek for him. And so, like, the reason that the holes in your heart are not satisfied is because God put eternity in your heart.
Yeah.
So nothing's going to satisfy it except for God, someone That's who is so good. Eternal, you know? I want to talk about some myths for a second. Myth number one is that you have to be perfect to be able to share the gospel. What's actually a much better testament is saying I'm sorry or addressing that you have wrongdoings. That shows your need for Jesus, which is what you're preaching. But we think like, oh, if I mess up, they're going to think bad of Jesus. No, the fact that you mess up is why you need Jesus and why they also need Jesus.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that we get stuck in our heads of like, they see me as this 10-year-old girl who was a little klepto, or, you know, liked starting drama with my friends, or they
party girl.
Party girl, you know, how, like, what authority do I have? Well, you have the authority of the Holy Spirit. Who's going to argue against that? Yeah. So,
and I think that leads us into our kind of like the myth too, with that it's all up to you.
Exactly.
Is that I think so often we don't share the gospel because it's like, one, yeah, who am I? But two, I won't have the right words. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Reality is, the goal is not to save them. That's Jesus's job. The goal is to put a pebble in their shoe.
Yep.
You want to make them think. The Lord is the one that saves. The Lord is the one that does the hard work and the heavy lifting. Your goal is just to share. Your goal is to simply be faithful. And so just let the pressure fall off this holiday season that it's up to you to make sure someone accepts Jesus. No, that's his job. You exactly. are just his mouthpiece.
Exactly. On average, it takes somebody 8 times hearing the gospel before they actually accept it.
Yeah.
That's like a statistic. God can do anything throughout that. Like, they could accept on the spot. Or you might just be a person like along their path who was part of that. And so share. I love that. The last myth is that you have to know exactly what you're doing before you can start. That's not true. It takes practice. And you don't have to have all the answers. When someone doesn't know something, you say, you know what? I'm learning all this stuff too. Let's look it up together.
Totally.
Or you say, I'm going to find that out for you. And then you call someone, you go to gotquestions.org, you look it up. Because there is a very real piece of sharing the gospel that people are going to ask you questions that you don't know the answer to. That's okay. The Bible has an answer. That's what you need to know.
I love that. That is such a good point, Laura, because I think I can even fall into that. I'm sure, because I mean, we went to quote unquote seminary and we still don't have all the answers. And so I think that's so humble to say, hey, you know what? I don't know where dinosaurs are today. Let me find that out and I'll get back to you. And be humble about it. There's zero shame in not knowing the answers. And I think a really good place to wrap us up in this episode is that the enemy hates what you're doing. He hates you and he hates what you're doing. And he will do anything in his power to make sure that you don't share, whether that be through intimidation, whether that be showering lies over you, telling you you're not enough, you don't have the right words to say, blah, blah, blah. Be ready for that and anticipate that. You're also going to feel a lot of guilt and shame probably after you share the good news, because the enemy's going to want to do whatever he can to get you not to do it. So be on guard. I know that right before I start a noble program, the enemy is just full attack.
Yeah.
And it can take me out sometimes. Stand in your true identity. Stand in, if God is for me, who can be against me? God is your mouthpiece.
Exactly.
You are simply being led by the Spirit. Let him do the heavy lifting. You just get to tell the good news.
So good. There have been times where I shared the gospel like, bam, I've never heard that more clear. Like, this person's for sure going to come to know Jesus. Like, I just nailed it, you know?
Yep.
Wow, with someone recording that, you know? And the person's like, yeah, no thanks.
Totally.
And then there have been times where I flubbed through it and I'm like, did I even say Jesus's name? And they're like, you know what? I'm ready to give my life to Jesus.
Totally.
And so you just, you need to know, like, the pressure's off.
Yep.
Just do it. Just do your job. Let God do his job. And we could talk about apologetics all day. Apologetics is basically just things that get in the way. Like, they're answers to the questions people have that get in the way of, like, if God is good, why do bad things happen? Or those kind of things. Again, you don't have to have all the answers. You just get to know, like, hey, the main message of the Bible is this. I'd love to discuss your questions. Can we discuss it together and be okay with going on that journey with them? So we want to share so many things with you guys in regards to this, but I'm going to give you just one last, like, easy way to share the gospel if you don't know where to start. Share your story.
So good.
Think about this. What has God done in your life and what can you share? People can refute 100 different things. They cannot refute your personal testimony.
Yeah.
And a lot of times as you're sharing, who was I before Jesus? What was my life like? What happened in the turning point? Like, how did I come to know Jesus? And say, because Jesus died and was raised to life again, now I have eternal life. Say that in your story. And then say, what has happened afterwards that God has used to transform your life? Like, you're becoming more peaceful. Or
you're healing from this breakup in a way that never happened before.
Now you have friendships where it isn't surface level. Like, there's depth and we connect on a level that provides hope for my loneliness. Or, hey, I'm still struggling in these areas, but I know that my God's got it because I'm not living for this world. I'm living for another one. And so share your story. You can even ask other people to share theirs, even if they don't know Jesus. What's your story? Who are you? You know,
totally.
And then share yours.
Yeah. And I think a good last tip is ask other people how they do it. Ask friends that know Jesus. How do you share the gospel? What have you seen work? I do that all the time of, like, what have you seen be effective? And that way you can learn. Overall, y'all, give yourself grace. There is no right way to do this. There's no perfect. All you need to know is that the Lord is with you. He will not fail you. Be bold. Remember, this is the good news. We love you guys. We're thankful. Hopefully this encourages you. We're praying for you. Share the gospel. Come on, baby. We love you guys. Have a good week.